Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, he's normally off on Tuesday, but the Bills are working today. They're normally off on Tuesday as well, but they have a 12:15 practice this afternoon. Sal will be on hand for that. And he is joining us on the Wester Hotline, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Mr. Capaccio.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How you doing today?
Pretty good. I'm pretty good today.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
It's a different kind of Tuesday. That's okay.
It's a Tuesday work day.
But this is what happens this time of year, especially every year around Thanksgiving. We have a little fluctuation schedule, but it's going to be like that here for about a month now. So, you know, just getting ready for it.
Sal, any takeaway from last night, whether it's the Bills' win over the Rams looking better and better, or Tom Brady's 216 yards on 48 attempts, or anything at all?
Yeah, I got a couple. I think number one that, you know, this is the Brady that we've kind of been seeing for about a year. Now, he's had some great games. There's no doubt. He has not been horrible this year. But his swings of really good and really bad are a lot more variant now, right? I mean, like, he's generally, for most of his career, his floor was so high. His floor is a lot lower now, guys. You know, when he's bad, well, we started to see that over the last couple of years, especially last year. I remember going on a lot of radio stations over the summer, just talk about the Bills, and eventually they'd say, hey, what do you think about Brady going to Tampa, since it's, you know, New England and the Bills division? And I would say, look, I know that, you know, watching him over the last year, he just hasn't been the same quarterback. He's throwing balls in the dirt. He's a little less accurate, things like that. And I think that that's coming out even more now. You know, all that talent there, that's starting to happen. And that's okay. I mean, he's an older guy, and this is what happens at that age. And again, I'm not saying he's horrible, but it seems like when he's not that good, it's going a lot worse than it ever has before. And as far as the Rams, I think they're the best team in the NFC right now. No, whether or not we can, you know, debate, or people can say the win for the Bills over them looks better, which it does, I'm sure. But every team has, you know, ebbs and flows, and every team kind of morphs as the season goes on. I think the Rams have morphed right now into the best team in the conference.
Yeah, their offense seems to have found its stride after losing it last year. And they've, you know, on defense, it might be a little bit of the formula, Sal. And like, it's kind of how we talk about this Bills team, which is, you can try to put together a perfect defense, but what you might really want to do is just get two to three great players on that side of the ball. You know, the Bills, we were looking for more plays. Make a play. Tre'Davious White, Tremaine Edmonds, Jerry Hughes. And with the Rams, you've got Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. And just having those two guys on that side of the ball, they make big plays. You know, they make the big plays when they kind of need to.
Yeah, and at different levels, right? I mean, if you could have a great player at two different levels on the front, you know, the front seven, the back seven, if you could have a D lineman, a linebacker, a DB, something like that, would be great too. The perfect scenario. But it's kind of like in baseball, when they say be really great up the middle, right? If you have a really good, whether it's a catcher, a shortstop, and a center fielder, something like that, you know, you want to be really good. I think you want to be good at every level, or at least have a great player at every level, like you're bringing up. But the other thing I'll say about the Rams, when they're rolling, they're just super fun to watch. They really are. Even in Buffalo, like, it was It just came like an avalanche when in that second half. And you're like, how do you stop this? It was amazing. When Sean McVay is rolling as far as play calling and they're in a rhythm and those receivers, they're just really fun to watch. And they are kind of really – they personify football in today's NFL in 2020 when they're on a roll.
And if I'm comparing them to the Bills, you know, they've got a offensive mind in Sean McVay and, you know, the Bills' offensive – play caller Brian Daboll's doing a nice job. They've got a good young quarterback. They've got good receivers. The thing the Rams might have a huge edge in terms of passing game weapons, is tight end, right? They actually use their tight ends, and we saw their tight ends get used against the Bills as well. I feel like the conversation, Sal, about the Bills, it's not necessarily for this year. We'll see if somebody can kind of step in and continue to perform, but the next step for this Bills offense is to keep everything in place and add a matchup problem at tight end if they don't already have one.
Yeah, I think they really felt that Dawson Knox would be that, you know, but so far that hasn't happened. He's had good moments, we know that, and I think he can be a matchup against certain players, against certain defenses. That hasn't happened. I think Tyler Croft has been much more the steady guy here over the last year, since he's, you know, this year especially. And, you know, there's still time for Dawson Knox. I think a lot of fans are losing a lot of patience in him, and I get that, and rightly so in a lot of areas because he's been so inconsistent. You know, but we'll see. You know, maybe I think this year is a lot different because of a lot of reasons, obviously, with the lack of training camp and preseason and reps and stuff like that, but also because, you know, the Bills did load up on wide receiver, and now they have all these weapons. So you're right, Jeremy. I think that maybe that's a bit of a difference there, but I'm not sure that there's a lot of balls to go around for a tight end in this offense if you really want it to hum the way it's supposed to hum, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing. I was just looking at the targets for Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett over the course of the season. You know, the Bills just – they might have the lowest number of throws to tight ends in the league. I know that at one point charting this, J.J. Zacharyson charts this for fantasy purposes, that the Bills have been at the top of the league in percentage of targets that go to receivers. They just don't – they don't check it down to backs too much, and they don't use tight ends too much. It's Brown, Beasley, and Diggs getting most of their targets on a level that no other team, at least not many, is really seeing.
And that goes to both Brian Daboll and Josh Allen, right? I mean, it's not just Brian Daboll not calling plays for tight ends. I think, you know, he has them in routes sometimes. It's also Josh Allen. He doesn't like to check down a lot. He likes to, you know, take a shot. And he's not throwing it really deep either. I just think he likes to make sure that he's getting the ball down the field a little bit and pushing it. He's had to do more of the check down stuff here this year over the last, you know, month and a half or whatever. But that's on both of them. You know, I don't think that they're necessarily not calling plays for the tight end. You know where they use the tight end? It's been good as the red zone, the goal line especially. Mm-hmm. You know, Lee Smith has a touchdown catch. Yeah. Dawson Knox has what?
Reggie Gilliam.
Reggie Gilliam. That's where the Bills use their tight end, is at the goal line. It's very creative, by the way. Go watch some of the plays where the Bills have scored with their tight end at the goal line. Watch some of the routes where they're coming from. That's where they are very effective with the tight end.
Since you're on the topic of tight ends, there was some news yesterday from Sean McDermott. So what has happened with Tommy Sweeney?
Yeah, Tommy Sweeney, he's not going to play in 2020, guys. A cardiologist diagnosed him with, I want to say the word right.
Myocarditis.
Myocarditis, thank you. I wanted to look at it, so I said it right. Myocarditis. And this is a condition that is often also related to COVID-19. People who have COVID-19 have also had this condition later on. It happened to a pitcher, I believe, in baseball as well.
Yeah, a Red Sox pitcher.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here. He was on the COVID-19 list back in October. Dawson Knox had tested positive. So Tommy Sweeney, Lee Smith, and Nate Becker all went on the COVID list. Remember that? They were the close contact when they lost all those tight ends 1 week. And then he came off the list on November 11th. That was 13 days ago. So now here we are. So as of yesterday, which was 12 days after that, Sean McDermott announced that. Now, the thing with Sweeney is he was on the PUP list. He had not played all year. He was coming back. And this was the week, like literally this was the week deadline for him to begin practicing if the team wanted to activate him. What they could have done this week was start practicing him, and then they would have a 3-week window to open to put him on the active roster. If he didn't practice this week, he was lost for the season anyway. Or if they didn't activate him after those 3 weeks, he was lost for the season. Mm-hmm. That option is obviously out the window now. And, you know, according to Sean McDermott, they'll prepare for him to be playing next year.
Let's do Josh Norman and Isaiah Hodgins. So what is Josh Norman's status as they go back to work today?
Well, as of right now, there's been no change as far as I've seen or heard, you know, as far as his designation. So we'll see if they, you know, move him off the COVID list. So far, he's still on there. And remember, you know, he doesn't count as a roster spot, but they do have two open roster spots essentially right now. So they could move him off there right there. So as far as Isaiah Hodgins, this was nothing. The team has not officially reported it. I'm expecting that to happen today because it was on the transactions wire yesterday. It was on the official NFL transactions wire that Isaiah Hodgins has been designated to return, which is super interesting. I'm actually surprised. I thought he was going to have a redshirt year. They weren't going to worry about it. They weren't going to put him out there. So I think there's three ways we can look at this, guys. Number one, they want to see if he can help them, which could very well be possible. Okay, because what happens is if he starts practicing this week because he's designated to return, which obviously is going to happen now, they have 21 days to put him on the active roster. So now they might feel he's healthy. We saw enough in training camp. We think he can help us. Let's go put him on the field to make sure.
Yeah.
Number two reason is they might just want to get him 3 weeks of reps before the season's over at practice, you know, because they can do that. I mean, it's basically he'd be kind of essentially like a practice squad player practicing with the team for 3 weeks, and then they can decide, but they may have no intention of that. They could just say, we're going to let him practice, get all these reps in for 3 weeks, because it's better than having nothing before he gets to the offseason. And the third reason is this could just be insurance. Hey, what if we lose John Brown? What if we lose another wide receiver? If this guy's practicing, at least we have another option to go to, because yeah, we have Jay Kumerow, we have Duke Williams, but we can do that as well because now, you know, at least we're having options going forward if something like that happens. So I'm very interested to see how this all plays out.
Speaking of, I'm very interested to see how this all plays out. What is going on with Mitch Morse? How did he go from big free agent signing, highest paid center, anchor the offensive line to, yeah, he's in the mix to play Sunday. Like, what is going on?
I don't know. This goes back to the last game when he was active and healthy and did not play. And remember, he had just come off the concussion. He had missed a week. So a lot of people speculated, oh, they want to give him another week. But Sean McDermott kind of closed the door on that and said it was a coach's decision, right?
Right.
Now, you can also have a lot of coach speak in there, right? Maybe you just try protecting the player or whatever.
Yep.
But they did, if it was a health-related issue, I do, especially with that particular issue, I don't believe he would have ever been activated in the first place for the game. You know what I mean?
Or he could have said it yesterday. Yeah, guys, you know what?
I want to go back to that point in time, I'm saying. Let's go back to
when he was activated for Arizona. Game. Okay.
Right. I'm just saying for the Arizona game specifically, if it was a health issue, I don't think he would have been activated.
Huh.
You know what I mean? He probably would have just been not on the active roster. So we get to this week now, and yesterday was asked again the same question. And yes, you're right, Howard. You could go back to that answer, but again, it was no. The answer was that he's in the mix, and we'll see if he's going to play. There's been nothing about anything dealing with health, whether it's concussion or any other related issue. So at this point in time, the best answer I can give you is this is clearly a football decision. Why? I don't know. Obviously, the coaches feel that he's just not playing well enough or somebody else is playing better that they don't want to commit to him being the starter. But it's clearly a football issue at this point. This is not about health. This is not about concussions.
Yeah.
That's been made clear by the head coach.
Yeah, I guess that's what really puzzled me because you know, they always talk about best five guys, right? So I guess if he doesn't play and he's healthy, we have all, right? We're believing he's healthy. If he doesn't play Sunday, then the Bills are saying is he's not the best center on the team. And I'm going to guess John Feliciano would be at center. So how do you go from him, all of a sudden, he's not the best center on the team, Feliciano is. But then if you're doing that, you're taking one of your best offensive guard probably in Feliciano. And now you're weakening the guard spot by not getting the best guards out on the field in those spots.
I understand that perception. I've been thinking about that ever since, you know, yesterday. Because here's the thing. Let's just say they believe Feliciano's the better center. You might be able to make that argument, right? I mean, John Feliciano's a good player.
He's been fine, yeah, right.
And he's been fine. And let's just say you feel, hey, we haven't been getting enough from Mitch this year. And right now, John Feliciano's the better center. And let's just say you also, and let's also think about, I know that they paid Mitch Morse a lot of money and that, you know, there's always a financial element to all these things. Feliciano's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to see him play center and believe, hey, that's we like this and we want to go forward with him at center. Let's just say all that's true. I don't know. But if even if you do like Feliciano more at center, all right, then I still think, though, that what is the drop-off between him to Morse?
Yep.
Compared to Feliciano at guard to the next guy, which is Butker.
Right.
You have to really believe, like, Butker's playing really well at guard to still justify that move, right? I mean, because even if you, again, even if you believe Feliciano's the better center than Morse, are you still not a better team by putting him still at guard with Morse at center? Obviously, the Bills don't feel that way.
Yeah.
And this could also be about, they might feel really, really certain. The guys we haven't talked about are the guards, like Butker, Brian Winters.
That's the
like,
I
these
was,
are guys.
I was going to mention Winters, Sal. No, I was going to say, you mentioned Butker, and I'd say Winters, too, because in theory,
right?
Well, not in theory, when Cody Ford's healthy, he's a starting guard on this team.
That's
why I said I think it's kind of puzzling, because I think a lot of us always thought, well, the best five, it turns out, would be the combination that has yet to play a game this season. Dawkins, Ford, Morse, Feliciano, and Darrell Williams. Now, they haven't played one game yet this season, and I would think, I know there's talk about continuity, and Sean McDermott mentioned they felt they had momentum with the guys up front, right? From the New England and Seattle game, they had momentum. They stayed with it against Arizona. But it's odd that the five guys that most people thought would be the starters haven't even had a chance to play together yet this season, and now might all be healthy this week.
And I know we always say best five. They always said best five, and it's not wrong. I mean, you do go that way. But let's also kind of narrow the scope here. Most guys can't play all five.
Right,
positions.
And I think it's
so
best
really
five
it is
in
so really
into
it
position.
Is,
I think it's the best five with the positions.
So really, it is best like interior guy or best tackles,
yeah,
things like that. Because you know, John Feliciano's not playing tackle. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Mitch Morse isn't playing tackle.
Morse can't play guard,
guys.
Right?
And I don't even know. What's that?
Can Morse play guard?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I've never seen him play guard, and I don't think he's ever played guard. I have to go back to the Kansas City days, and I don't think he ever did. I have to look up. So again, that brings into question. You know, if he's only a center, which we can assume he's only a center,
then
it's got to be either Morse at center with Feliciano at guard. And, okay, let's just say if two things are true. Are we going to do what's this called? Transitive properties here, right? You guys remember that from
transitive
from college
properties
or from high school?
I must have been out sick that day.
I'm going to say yes as long as there are no follow-up questions.
What are transitive okay. properties?
Yes, I remember. Yes.
Okay, but I think this would fall under that, Jeremy. I'm not sure you can tell me, but if you believe Feliciano has to be on the field, and if you believe Morse is only a center, then to me it would naturally follow up that Morse is the starting center and Feliciano's one of the starting guards.
Right.
So there's more to this because obviously if Morse isn't playing guard and he's not playing center, then you don't feel he's one of the best at either any of those three positions.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what transitive properties meant, but I liked your explanation. Get a plug for your article. You did a little trip into the old Wayback Machine to 1995. I was took me back down memory lane. Very nice.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. The gist of it, guys, is, and I talked about this on the Extra Point show, but I wrote about it. You know, that's what I like to do. I open my show with it, and then I write about the same thing I kind of open my show with for people to see it in written form. And the gist is, this is it, man. They have this in front of them. If the Bills don't win the AFC East, it's because the Bills didn't close it out. The Bills have an opportunity here. They are in a great position. They're in their best position this late in the year, I would say, since 1995. Now, I don't really know exactly what their records were. I didn't go back and look at, you know, 2002 or 2004 when they were charging. But you get the point. Like, this is right in front of them.
Yeah.
For two decades, you know, the Patriots owned the division. The Bills got in as a wild card over the last couple of years, twice. But really, to win the division, 1995. And I went back to 1995 and looked up. You know, Forrest Gump was the best movie.
It's a good movie.
Coolio was at the top of the charts. You know, it's the year of the OJ verdict, things like that. And I wrote about that stuff. But, you know, really the bottom line here is this is the best chance. It's not just that the Bills – it's not just that the Bills' last division win was in 1995. It's that they have this in front of them now. Now they just need to land this thing. They need to get this thing home. And if they don't, it's on them. It's not because the Miami Dolphins or the New England Patriots suddenly found some magic potion to go undefeated the rest of the way, right? I mean, even if that were to happen, which is not going to happen, you know, the Bills still have an opportunity here to win games and win the division.
I've got a little bit of a vibe, Sal, like, not that, like, the season starts now, but the first 10 games were show us who you are, get to 7-3, get out in front. Now the division is yours for the taking, and right. You've got games against the Chargers and the Broncos and the Patriots, if I want to even put them in that group, and games against Pittsburgh, and if I want to include Miami there as well, like other teams that are fighting for the playoffs, you know, this team is, I don't want to say destined for the playoffs, but it sure looks like they are going to the playoffs. And like right now, it gets a little more serious to me. It kind of feels like last year where the last five games, you know, we knew they were in good shape. They looked like they'd make the playoffs. And then it became, right, Baltimore, Dallas, Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. New England. Okay, game on. Now's the real test. Now things get going in a different kind of way. And I know it's still the regular season. I know, you know, it's just week 11 or whatever it is. But when you were talking about that yesterday, that's the feeling I got. It's like, all right, you're going to win the division, and now it counts. Like, now it's time to play your best football. You got to find a way to peak after the bye week and go the remainder of the regular season and into the postseason playing your best.
Yeah, and it sets up exactly like that, right, Jeremy? Which is, you had the bye week, you're coming out of the bye week, you're getting healthy, here's the stretch run. Like, it kind of, that's the way you'd want it. I think yep. If you could design a scenario, this is the scenario, which is, give me the bye week right before I need to just basically land this thing and get to my stretch run and make it and get all hands on deck and take this thing home. As Bulldog would say, they need to get this to the garage.
To the garage, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's really what they need to do here. Yeah. That's the gist of the article. Like, this is on the Bills. They have everything they want in front of them. Their stated goal before the season started was to have a home playoff game, and the way to do that was to win the division. So they've been saying for months and months, like, the division, that's where it's at. And now they have an opportunity here to win the division. 1995, I mean, a quarter of a century has gone by since the Buffalo Bills last won the division. It's amazing that the Indianapolis Colts won the AFC East more recently than the Bills, and they haven't been in the division in almost 20 years.
I had a full head of hair last time the Bills won a division.
So, you know, and, you know, you don't want to get ahead of yourself necessarily, and we could talk about that you know, like, as you guys always say, like, we're not the players. You know, it is one game at a time. I get that. Like, you have to beat the Chargers before you can get to the next game and the next game. But it's right there. Look at the standings. Look at the tiebreakers. Look at everything. The Bills have a great opportunity here. By the way, people talk about the Dolphins' record, like who's left on the schedule. Oh, even you know, before last week was much more, obviously, but the Dolphins lost. But people talk about, look at the Dolphins' schedule. Look at the Bills' schedule. Like, I did the numbers on this. I ran it. I wrote it in my article. Yes, the Dolphins and Bills, like, the Dolphins' remaining opponents are slightly less than the Bills in record. They have, like, three less wins than the Bills. It's, like, 31 wins for the Bills' opponents, 28 or 29 for the Dolphins. If you just take out the 10-0 Steelers, though, and the 0-10 Jets, like, that one game for each team, the Bills have a much, quote-unquote, easier strength of schedule. It's only 21 and 29 of combined opponents. That's it. And the Dolphins is 28 and something. So, yes, the schedule might, on the surface, if you just took a look at the numbers, the Bills have one of the harder remaining schedules. Well, that's because they play a 10-0 Pittsburgh Steelers team. The other 5 out of 6 games, they're pretty much all below 500 teams.
Hey, if you don't mind, I've got to pick
Except
the Bills.
Miami.
I got to pick the Bills next, so I'm looking for a little help. What is... Right now, the toughest, what do you think, on paper, of course, what is the toughest game left on the Bills' schedule? What's the easiest game left for the Bills?
Hold on. Toughest? I mean, I got to say Pittsburgh, right? I mean, they're 10-0.
I mean, you don't have to.
I do think the Bills match up better with Pittsburgh than I do against other teams. Pittsburgh isn't a great running team, and I think the Bills would really concentrate on trying to, you know, shut down Ben, but mm-hmm. they do have a very good defense. And they can get after the quarterback. And I think that can cause problems, the way that they can make big plays on their defensive side. So let me look at the schedule real quick. All right, so I'll go with Pittsburgh. I just think that's tough. They're just a really good team. They're solid. They are very good. They're still a well-balanced team. It's a Sunday night. Easiest. It's a tough one. I mean, boy, I'd say Denver. But going to Denver West, yeah. That's tough.
No, I think it is Denver.
It might be this week.
Well, you know, I was waiting for you to bring up the Chargers game, but Jeremy and I were saying earlier, this is a difficult matchup from the standpoint yes. of their passing offense is extremely good. And yes. so I would not worry about Drew Lock beating the Bills defense. You would worry about that with Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry. Not that they don't have weapons in Denver, but their quarterback isn't as good as this quarterback.
That's right. And they could push the ball down the field. But a West Coast team coming here on a Sunday 1 o'clock game, rookie quarterback. I feel good about the Bills, you know, in a spot like that with Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier. I think that they – but you're right. They have weapons. And Justin Herbert has looked really good. And their receivers are really good, obviously. Keenan Allen's incredible. The one player to watch this week – leading up to the week, guys, Austin Eckler for the Chargers. A lot of people have speculated he would be back for the Bills game this week. Remember, he tore the hamstring off the bone or something, week three, I think it was. It's crazy. He had been jogging and running, but Anthony Lynn yesterday said it would be great to get him back, but when he's ready, he's ready. It just kind of sounded to me like he's not going to be ready this week. I mean, there's a difference between running and jogging than actually practicing and playing, you know what I mean? And he hasn't done that yet.
All right. All right, enjoy practice today. Let us know what the latest is out there from stretching and individual.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
All right, Sal, thank you. Sal's article is up about their chances to win the division. WGR550.com is segment with us. Brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? The Bills will be practicing, or scheduled to practice, I should say, at 12:15. What's coming up next?
And you're scheduled to pick the Bills next.
Are we doing holiday wishes next, or what is?
You pick the Bills, and I'm gonna follow up on that conversation about targeting tight ends. I found the numbers,
The stats. All right.
Yeah. Something that maybe next year we talk about for the Bills offense, but it really is something that stands out when you look at how the Bills target the passing game.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Just get right into it since it's almost 8:40.
So quick thing before we get to pick the Bills. I mentioned target share at per position. J.J. Zacharyson, he's on Twitter, at late round quarterback. I think a developing story about the Bills offense, maybe not this season, maybe next offseason draft, we will talk about tight end. that Dawson Knox has not really stepped into that role the way that maybe people thought he would this year. Mm-hmm. He's not – I mean, he's been hurt. That's in the mix too. Last year, Knox had 50 targets. And I think if you were – maybe some of that had him in fantasy or whatever thought, this is going to be a year for Knox to get a lot more, right? Well, I mean, he's missed some time, of course. But Knox has 16 targets through 10 games. He's topped out at 4. He had 4 against Arizona. Actually, that's his biggest number of targets in a game. Hmm. But J.J. Zacharyson puts together these, you know, how many passes a team throws, what percentage go to their receiver, tight end, and running back. The Bills, they've hovered around this number the whole year. They are number one in share of throws that go to receivers.
Yeah, I would. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You'd expect that, right?
Right. I wouldn't be surprised with that. Right.
I'm not trying to say this is a problem. This is who they are.
Yeah.
They throw 75% of their passes go to receivers.
Mm-hmm.
15% go to running backs. That is low, but not at the bottom. And for tight ends, that number is 9.5%. Only New England and Carolina are below them in how little they throw to tight ends.
Yeah, and New England has literally, I mean, they have
nobody.
Tight ends on their roster, right? Yeah.
And I'm not sure Carolina, I don't know enough about Matt Rhule's offense, to even bother using tight ends. You know? I mean, like, they would watch Greg Olsen leave last year. So it's just worth mentioning, you know, sometimes tight end use can be too heavy. I'm not saying it is a problem, but it's just if you maybe want to see this Bills offense, what's the next step? How do you become Kansas City? Well, Kansas City does have a tight end, and they do throw a lot to their tight end. They throw more to the tight ends and backs than a lot of teams do. So it's just something I wanted to mention because I've seen a little bit of a tweet swell of support conversation about this team really missing that dynamic tight end that we are hoping Knox can still kind of be. If that doesn't happen, it's on the list of offseason needs, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think this is a Dable philosophical, like, he'll throw – they threw to the tight end last year, as you mentioned. I don't think it was a major shift in philosophy saying we're just going to ignore the tight end because we added Diggs. I think they would like to get the tight end involved in the offense as part of the overall package, but – who are you throwing to?
Yeah, well, it might be the kind of thing that helps you when John Brown does miss a game.
Yeah.
Or Diggs misses a game. Or Beasley misses a game, as you have someone in that spot that you can kind of go to in the passing game. And I just, you know, Croft, as Sal mentioned, they do this in the red zone. They do throw to their tight ends in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen spreads the ball around. It feels like every game that we watch at the end of the first quarter, someone's posting the numbers. Oh, wow, Josh has already thrown to 8
targeted
different 7, receivers.
8 guys, right.
Yep,
right,
yep.
Right.
I mean, it's a consistent thing. So, again, not a problem. I think it's just something worth watching.
But like we said earlier, and by the way, Dave tweeted and stop stalling. I'm not. Jeremy brought up a question, so you can't blame me.
No, I wanted to. But I teased this and wanted to bring it up. Yeah.
There's two things here real quick. One, I think with Dawson Knox, it's a wash. I don't know what they're going to do in the offseason, but I can't tell you anything more about Dawson Knox than I could going into the season, in part because he still had some drops, in part because he was injured, in part because he had COVID. So I think this season is going to be a wash for him.
Yeah, and this year, it's there's that, and there's also penalties, and it just seems like it's just not going well.
And I don't think Croft is a consistent option in the tight end game, and who knows if Sweeney will ever turn out to be anything. Now, hopefully he's going to be okay health-wise. So there's a big question at that position. But look, I asked you this earlier when we were talking about I don't know what the hell we were talking about, but it doesn't really matter. If you looked at all of the Bills' weapons in their passing game, backs, tight ends, and receivers, and I had you rank them in order, how far are you going down the list? If Brown's out, I'm thinking, okay, Gabriel Davis or Isaiah McKenzie are going to get more targets. Nobody thinks about, okay, well, that's all right. A tight end is going to step in and help out when one of the receivers is out. You wouldn't even get to a receiver in the top 7 on the Bills' chart right now. And that's problematic.
Without further ado, bye week edition. Other teams played games, and of course that means the landscape has changed dramatically. So let's have you pick the Bills.
A tradition unlike any other.
We need WGR2, and it'll go on the second feed, and it's just a constant run of you picking the Bills.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills!
Bye week. Any picks during the bye week? Nothing.
The Crown is back on Netflix. They put the fourth season came down Sunday.
Into the end zone and intercepted, picked off by the All-Pro Justin Simmons.
Blitz is coming. Cam gets away, stays in the pocket, in trouble, throws it, and it's incomplete.
Herbert, rolling, looking, throwing, end zone, touchdown.
When are you going to actually stick your neck out and you pick something on a regular basis?
I'm not the one in making predictions. I'll let you do all that.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That's funny.
All right.
By the way, well, pick the Bills. Diana and Charles should have never married. I mean, I'm watching The Crown, and it was a bad idea from the start. Anyway, go ahead. That's probably not
a Crown recap segment sometime.
Yeah, yeah, like you know, Bachelor, Bachelorette, whatever. Go ahead. I'm only I think 3 episodes in, so okay. I've still got to watch a lot more.
Meanwhile, after much reading about how good that chess show is, I've started to watch
the
chess
Queen's
show,
Gambit.
Queen's Gambit, and it's very good.
It is very good. It's intense.
Time to pick
times,
the Bills. Yeah, it's very good. Mm-hmm. All right, Bills Chargers Sunday 1:00, looking like a nice day for some football.
Is Scorefest one word or two words?
Is it hyphenated?
It's not hyphenated.
Okay.
Right?
How do you know if something's hyphenated? So there's one thing I know that I do. It's
how do you know if something's hyphenated? That's a really good. I would just do an internet search, but I didn't. I was too lazy to look. Scorefest. Bills win.
Scorefest.
I feel like Scorefest is two words.
Okay.
I'll look it up while we're doing this.
Scorefest. Scorefest. Bills win. They move to 8-3.
Yeah, it looks like two words.
Okay, and then go to San Francisco for the Monday night game.
Oh, that's what I forgot to ask Sal, although he wouldn't have given me the answer because in Sal's article about the remaining schedule for the Bills, he also wrote something in part, who knows what San Francisco is on a week-by-week basis. They're a Jekyll and Hyde team. I will take a Bills loss to the 49ers in that Monday night game.
Ooh, a loss. All right. Was that a win last week?
Brayton?
Might have been.
Yes, it was. It's been a all win right. for the past 3 weeks.
Seriously, I'm using a quarter.
Hail Mary.
No, you're not flipping a quarter.
The Hail Mary really shook you.
It did. It shook me. Well, you know what happens is they're going to get on a plane. They're going to start flying west. When they start flying west, they'll flash back to the Hail Mary.
I wonder if that happens against Denver, too, in a couple weeks. All right, so a win against the Chargers, a loss to San Francisco. Then home Pittsburgh, who we think will, if they play Baltimore and win, then they play Washington. That means Pittsburgh is still undefeated.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh will be undefeated when they come here. I think they'll beat Baltimore. I think they are a better team. Baltimore's got a lot of problems. I'm not sure Baltimore, I mean, who's running the ball on Thursday? If Dobbins is out and Ingram is out because of the COVID issues, who is it? Is it Gus Edwards is next up on the depth chart? I think Pittsburgh comes here, and I will tell you this, young man. Ooh. I'm picking the Bills to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, there it is.
The Bills will beat the Pittsburgh Steelers because they won't have to worry a lot about their running game, and the run defense is the weakness for the Bills. By that time, the Bills will be healthy in the secondary. Josh Norman is back. They'll do everything in their power to stop the deep receiving core for the Steelers. The Bills will be able to negate it enough that the Bills will put up points in a lower scoring game to beat the Steelers defense.
Well, one thing I'll tell you about this game.
They got to lose at some point anyway.
Against the Steelers is the Bills' losses are to Tannehill, Mahomes, and Kyler Murray. What do they all do well? They all move.
Mm-hmm.
And Roethlisberger does not.
No, that's true. He's probably, I hate to use the term immobile, but in terms of all the quarterbacks the Bills will face.
He's been tough to bring down over the course of his career. Right. He's been a real pest in the pocket. I'm not saying he's never been that, but compared to the way the guys move, I mean, he does not move.
It's funny, since you mentioned Roethlisberger, Jeremy, almost every time there's a sack and Josh Allen basically shakes a guy off.
You think about young Roethlisberger?
Hey, it reminds you of Ben Roethlisberger, who's so hard to bring down. They always make that comparison.
So a win over Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Then the Bills will go to Denver to play Drew Lock.
Forget what I said about flying west and having flashbacks. They're going to beat the Denver Broncos because there's no way Drew Lock is going to have success against the Bills defense. The only thing to worry about is whether Denver will run wild against the Bills rush defense. I don't think it's going to be like 245 yards wild, so I will take the Bills to win that game.
With that, the Bills go to 12-4, by the way. Miami sitting at 6-4 would have to run the table to still be in the race, and that means they'd have to beat the Chiefs because, again, the Dolphins have to come here tied.
Yeah.
So in this scenario, I think they clinch the division by beating Denver.
Hmm. Because they would be,
the Dolphins would get their fifth loss.
And the Bills would be 10-4.
Bills would be 10-4. Right? That means,
could they clinch the division?
Maybe not.
I don't think
anyway,
so, right?
This is what happens when you try to do math in your head on the fly. Forget I said all that.
Yeah, anyway, you're hurting my brain right now. I'm trying to think.
They've been 10-4 and at New England.
They're going to beat the Patriots.
Okay, that's the division, if nothing else.
For
a
sure.
Monday night game.
Yeah, I would think
beat
sure.
New England. And then against Miami on January 3rd, it's a rest their starters game?
Probably.
Hold on.
Well, ready Miami.
Hold on. Here come the phone calls. I hate the Miami Dolphins. You got to do your best. You got to keep them out of the playoffs.
You can't let
them get into the playoffs on a wild card. Miami can't get a free pass.
Look,
however, listen, it might be interesting. It might be one of those spots where if you rest, you are choosing Miami to play.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, maybe it's less about what a game means for them. Are the Bills playing for seeding?
Well,
and does it matter what seed they're at and who they might play? Because you could go into that game. You'd go into that game not knowing who's 5, 6, and 7.
Or, right.
Well, 5 and 6.
1 and 2 are gone, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 3 or 4.
12 and 4.
5 and 6, you'd be thinking about who's 5, right. Who's 6.
So the only way that it would matter is the only way it's a story. If you rest your starters and that means you play Baltimore, I don't think that means you think Baltimore is a pushover.
Yeah.
If you rest your starters and it's Tennessee, but if you rest your starters and it's Miami, that is picking Miami.
Yeah.
You have the chance to try to knock them out. Like, that would be a fun storyline for a Week 17 game.
I despise Miami as much as anybody. I'm very much old school, beat the Dolphins. I could care less at that point. If the Bills have things wrapped up and that game means nothing, you rest your guys. I could care less about having to play to eliminate Miami. I need to play to make sure I'm ready to win my next playoff game or do what I need to do if it's rest starters, to win my playoff game.
So it's a rest starters. Maybe Miami misses the playoffs anyway. Who knows?
They might. You know, yeah.
Pick a tie here.
With their schedule. Oh, you know what?
Not allowing ties.
Next week. I forgot all about that.
We don't allow ties.
One tie. Nope. Before the year is over, one tie.
Nope. Not allowed.
Bills and Steelers,
so,
tie game.
It's a loss?
That's right. I didn't figure it. Actually, I had a win, but because I didn't figure it in. I did not figure in the game means nothing for the Bills. All right. If that's what we're going, the premise is the game means nothing, then okay, sure. Turn that into a win for Miami.
Okay.
I had the Bills winning the game thinking it might actually still mean something.
11-5. And division title is your pick.
Yay.
You want it? Ready for some hypothetical here?
Sure.
If it was a tie.
Let's make Howard pick the playoffs here. There's this website called playoffpredictors.com.
By the way, you're now making us later.
There's going to be so many games, though. You got six weeks of games.
But here's the thing. The nice thing about this website is you can randomize each week, and it'll pick the games for you. So that's what I did. And I picked, following along with what Howard did, and in this hypothetical situation, the Bills would face the Titans as the number 4 seed.
They get a little revenge. Yeah, they'll beat them this time.
Picking a win.
Yeah.
The Colts would face the Dolphins.
Colts.
And the Browns would face the Steelers.
The Browns haven't beat the Steelers since 1897.
Lose by 50.
Yeah. McKinley was president the last time.
They always get hammered by Pittsburgh, too. Yeah. It's not just losses. They don't even compete.
So then the Bills would move on to the divisional round, and they would face Kansas City in the next round.
Yeah, I would pick the Chiefs. That was good. I would pick the Chiefs, but I like his response better.
And then it would be the Steelers and Colts in the other game.
I'll take the Colts.
All right. So you got the Bills going to the divisional round.
It's been a fun
game. Some of the stuff on Patrick Mahomes, that like how good he is and how just what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's like hyperbole doesn't even work anymore because he's so good that he's really – consistently better than anyone else has been good, and we're kind of just numb to how good he is every single week. He's played maybe 3 bad games in his life.
That's when you know you've reached the elite level, when people stop talking about you because they expect you to play at the elite
every
level.
Every week.
Yeah.
Every single week, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up with Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports in our 9 o'clock segment. That's interesting.
I would like to see the Bills get a second crack at those Chiefs.
Yes, you know? Titans first and then play Kansas City. Make it the revenge tour.
Revenge tour.
There you go.
All right, and then who? Arizona in the Super Bowl?
Yep. Oh, yes.
Revenge tour.
Oh, take that, Kyler Murray. 803-0550 to join us. WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He's okay.
Who, me?
Yeah, I worry about you.
I was refilling my coffee. Hey, congratulations on getting your Twitter account back online.
Yeah, you know what?
What'd you do?
To make a long story short, I was not able to reset the... Something happened. I couldn't log on, and I couldn't actually reset the password because I was not receiving the verification code email. So I was in this, like, I was just frozen. It was so frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this happened the weekend into my vacation, which is what, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago? So it was so frustrating. And I kept going back and forth with the Twitter customer service, send me this, send me that, send me this, send me that. And none of the emails were coming through. So I finally had him send it to a different email. Code came through, reset the password, did everything I needed to do, got back on last night. And it was a really cool feeling, like, oh, I've missed you. Where have you been? You know, like back on last night, I'm like, yeah, look, notifications, DMs, all the people I follow. So I'm back on, and I tweeted out today because I had set up another account, but I didn't want to tweet on it. I've since deactivated it.
Well, now you still have that account.
No, I deactivated it.
Oh, you should have kept it. It's a burner account.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to do that.
Can I have it?
Yeah, sure. Really? You don't have a, why would I want a burner account? Just to be a jerk?
You can say stuff, yeah, you know.
But what if they find out? What if they find out I had a couple tweet me? I had a couple people tweet me like,
put it this way.
"Hey, is this you?"
Like every time some anonymous guy tweets you about picking the Bills and is mean to you, you can just troll him and go back at him.
Oh, you know, I didn't
tell
think
him
of that.
He's a jerk.
So it's funny because I tweeted out this morning. Good news, I think I'm back on Twitter. And the first segment we were talking about Brady and sportsmanship and everything. And some guy was really upset at what I was saying about Brady and I don't care and all this other stuff. And he's like, so my very, like one of the very first responses I got was, how could you defend that bleepity bleepity bleep, you know, POS Brady, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, great to be back on Twitter and hanging out with the public again. Woo. So anyway, yeah, I'm back. But I missed it. I did miss it. I felt disconnected from our listeners because for 2.5 weeks, I couldn't tweet. I mean, responses, topics, stats, opinions. I'm watching the game. Hey, I better not do that because I didn't want to start tweeting on the other account.
And now that you're back, you're going to be tweeting and also fleeting, right? You know about the fleets?
I'm not. No.
Mm-mm. Not going
to
fleet.
No. I haven't even looked to try and see what it means.
Yeah, I have not.
It's something with video, You can't.
I don't
help.
Want to answer the question.
You can't help.
No, I do.
Brayton, are you fleeting?
I know what it is, but it's just, it's fine.
No,
it's
fine. I can't stand
it. We don't need it.
We don't need it? It's superfluous?
Yeah.
As a country, as a world, fleeting is over the top?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, no, I'm just happy to be back on Twitter.
That's probably fine. We'll probably all get on board eventually, but, you know.
Although, you know what? I probably should not have gotten back on Twitter until days removed from picking the Bills. Although, I don't think anybody's really angry at me. How could you be angry? I picked them to go 11-5 and win the division, right? What would you be angry at? I picked them to beat the Steelers, for goodness sakes.
And you picked them to go into the divisional round of the playoffs, too.
Right. See, now you can't even. So nobody's mad at me today. It's a beautiful thing. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. More Bills talk coming up in a moment. And at 9:30, we'll get a little national perspective on the Bills and the NFL from Therese Paylor, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.